Episode 14. Let's go.
We are here. We are live. Ross, it's always good to be in the cave doing a little work. Good to see you, my friend.
You too, buddy. Welcome back to Pod on the Run. Peter, myself, and a special guest we'll introduce soon. Man, let's go. It's a great time to be here. It's a great time to be alive. And yeah, what's been going on in your world, dude?
Oh, man. You know, I'm just doing all the things, chasing the kids around, getting out for some nice runs. I owe you and the crew we ran with on Saturday in Upper Park a big thank you.
Okay.
I've been seeing the swing on secret trails for so long and finally was shepherded out that way. Got to see the swing, spend a little time on the swing, kick my legs, get a beautiful view of Canyon Oaks Golf Course and Northern California from up there. And then just a really nice run that morning. I'll be honest though, it beat me up pretty good.
Same.
I felt it all afternoon and most of Sunday. I guess I thought I was feeling better after the endurance run, but yeah, definitely not totally back. But you know, that discomfort is secondary to the company that we had and the route we ran and the weather we had. So honestly, it's a small price to pay for just a wonderful morning in Upper Bidwell Park.
Yeah, agree, man. It's fun to be out on that part of the park, seeing the swing and sidewinding and then heading up to Guardian. And I think we got like 2,000 feet of elevation gain that day. Everybody at the cafe run the next day at Bidwell Park said the same thing. Like, I'm pretty tired.
Yeah.
I took a long nap Saturday.
Totally.
It's pretty funny.
And, you know, we talk about it all the time. Like, there's so much good running in Upper Bidwell Park. And there were a couple of those trails up there that I'd never been on, didn't know existed. So just when you think you know something, you realize you don't know anything. So yeah, just a really, really awesome weekend of running and glad to be getting after it again.
Yeah, it was fun to be on Legacy. It's fun to see that part of the park. It's pretty rocky, not the best terrain. And the way that we went seemed like it just added a lot more climbing to the run.
Well,
zinger.
And at that point, we were 8 miles in, having already probably done 1,500 feet of climb. So I was thinking about it. The last time I did all of Legacy Loop, because I've dipped down and come back up, but haven't done that whole loop for a while. The last time was right after the park fire. We may or may not have gone up there when we weren't supposed to. Me and a couple other people, Logan, Noah, because we were really curious, like, what's going on up there? And so the last time I was up there, there was like fire hose still run down into it and cases of water that the firefighters had brought down there to stay hydrated while they were working. So to get down there now, you know, over a year later and see, you know, that area teeming with life again and recovering was pretty cool.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Speaking of Logan, I posted a video on social media and he commented on there like no invite. And it was like, oh no, you know, like had me thinking, like sometimes with the local legend Logan, you kind of think like he doesn't want to putt around with some amateurs
at
Bidwell Park. Like that guy's so dialed in and such, you know, on a mission and so impressive with his running. But I was like, dang, I got to get your number, man. Get you invited. Got to get the other people invited. Got to get a massive crew up there.
For real.
Logan had a suggestion. We should start a big group chat, because it may be easier to invite people than on Strava.
Yeah.
And I think you can add people to a group chat over time. And wouldn't it be funny if there was like 50 of us in a group chat and we were just firing off like, this is our weekend plan of running.
Totally. I love that idea.
Yeah.
Absolutely on board. Include me in the group chat, please.
Yeah. Same.
And I'll accept the invite.
Logan, we'll get you out there for sure, man. My bad. I felt bad about that one. Should have extended the invite to a lot of others.
Yeah.
Cool experience for some down in Monterey this weekend, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
That I love that race. I ran it last year. Unfortunately, didn't kind of fit into the schedule this year, which is fine. But that's one that I'll go back to. So yeah, congratulations to the ladies of Bidwell Run Club. There's a whole slew of them that went down there, had a successful run. Sounds like the weather was beautiful again. So yeah, great work. I know it was Jen. It was Melissa.
Haley, Emily.
Yeah. I would imagine there's probably other people from Chico who are there as well that we just didn't know about. So all of you, good work.
Yeah, our guy Kyle Fales with Butte College Cross Country.
That's right. Man. Just a little PR for him too. No big deal. Just a casual Sunday in Monterey. Good for him.
There were a lot of PRs with that ladies group too. Haley ran an amazing race.
Good for her.
Yeah, great times from that crew. So looks like a lot of fun. I was definitely like, dang, missed out on another one.
Yeah, and you know, the weather looked beautiful again. When we ran it last year, it couldn't have been a more beautiful day on Monterey Bay. It was sunny, gentle breeze, probably 55, 60 degrees, and it looked like it was very similar yesterday. So, yeah, definitely some FOMO with that one.
Yeah, maybe next year I'll get into that. But there was another big thing that unfolded this weekend in the race community. The Mendocino Coast 50K registration opened, and a few of us are locked in.
Yeah, you are.
Including today's guest, who we'll get to in just one sec. We should have introduced him moons ago. Let's go.
Yes.
But Mendocino Coast 50K, Billy, Melissa, Josh Pitts, a couple others that I may be missing out on.
I feel like maybe Tom and Ursula?
Oh, they might be in on this.
I know they've done it before and really hyped it up and said it's a wonderful race.
Yeah, they have. It was wild because registration opened and literally within like 3 minutes, people were on a wait list already.
Wow.
So you had to be locked and loaded and ready to roll.
So I guess I'm not doing it.
Yeah. Well,
and it's what, April 18th?
Yes, sir.
Man, that's going to affect our birthday plans. We're going to have to reevaluate and figure out a good day.
I was talking about that with our guest just a little bit ago before recording.
We'll find a time.
Yeah, maybe we could do it more like closer to March 31st, which is my birthday, which
totally
would maybe be like a good time to get in a long run, mm-hmm, 2-3 weeks out from the event, maybe kind of during that peak week time.
Totally.
Are you April 6th?
April 15th.
You're April 15th.
Tax day. It's controversial. yes.
Right. Yeah. Well, maybe more. Yeah. Closer to my birthday than this coming year. Because I definitely still want to do it.
I'm 100% committed to it. So yeah, we'll figure out the details and we'll keep the podience posted on that so that anybody that wants to join us can jump in with us.
That's right. Well, thanks to the Podfather for getting the podience involved. That's how we roll. All right. Hey, without further ado, let's get into today's guest who I can't wait to run the Mendocino Coast 50K with. We're sitting down with a true vegan badass. It's Mike O'Connell, a pillar of Chico's running scene. This episode's about legacy, leadership, and living your values. So Mike, hey man, welcome to the show. We're super stoked to have you and to learn more about your journey and what you've done with the Chico Running Club, the original Chico Running Club. Yeah. Let's go, Mike. Welcome in.
Oh man, what a delight to be here with you two legends. Long-time listener, first-time guest.
Sorry we didn't fulfill your rider request.
Yes.
For anybody that's out there listening, Mike sent a request for the green room and we were unable to meet his needs. So hopefully he'll still give us his best effort on this pod tonight.
Okay, I think we need a little bit of credit for providing some vegan snacks though. I really tried to, we tried to provide some vegan snacks. I don't know if they're his cup of tea, but we got some stuff for you in case you want some.
Absolutely.
Okay, so hey Mike, let's dive right in, man. I want to learn more about the Chico Running Club. I feel like I don't know enough about the Chico Running Club. I feel like maybe some runners in our audience don't know enough about the Chico Running Club. We know about the Bidwell Run Club, but the Chico Running Club's the OG, celebrating its 50th year this year.
Incredible.
That's amazing. How did you get involved with CRC?
Yeah, so CRC, we fly under the radar a little bit, but 50th year this year. And I started out a couple years ago, just kind of went to a group run. This was just before kind of BRC launched, and so kind of got involved with them. For CRC, it was a little bit of a tough time because we were coming out of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. That kind of did a number on group runs, on races, on everything else. So, you know, we were just starting and the group was just starting to kind of pull out of that at that time. But the fun part of being involved with the club and that group since that time is really kind of starting the next chapter and starting to rebuild on that. So. Yeah.
Sounds a lot like what Shauna has said too, being at Fleet Feet and having, you know, the pandemic hit and like you know, throwing it, like just stopping everything and then trying to get that momentum back up again. So it's really nice to see and hear that you guys have picked it up, and it seems like there's a lot of really positive momentum right now. I see all your guys' social media posts and the group runs, and can't wait to hear about more of the other things that you guys are doing as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're starting to build back up those different events. We're starting to do some new races. We'll talk a little bit about those, and just trying to have some fun engagement, and really be a connector in this running community. Because, I mean, we see that more and more with everything that Fleet Feet is doing, with what BRC is doing, all of our student athletes and everything else. And I think CRC is a big part of that, in terms of just kind of knitting the community together.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's great stuff. One thing I like about the Chico Running Club, or what I've noticed, and this may have been you responsible for this, but we just had the Almond Bowl run here in Chico. And leading up to the event, you posted a flyer, or somebody from CRC posted a flyer of the first ever Almond Bowl.
That was cool.
It was cool. It was like, wow, this person who did this, now I've learned it was the Vegan Badass, is tied into the history. It's tied into the community of Chico Running. So very, very neat. How did that come about?
So I kind of dug into the archives. It's been fun kind of looking back at like old Chico News and Review. And there was like a running focus periodical. I mean, CRC really was birthed out of the running boom of the mid 70s. Uh-huh. So, you know, these are the Steve Prefontaine days.
Yeah, the Bill Bowermans. Yeah.
Yeah, the running craze, right? So, I mean, that's really where sort of modern distance running and kind of popular running kind of gets its start. And so that's why you'll see, you know, CRC 50 years, a lot of like the Reading Sweat, the Reading Run Club, same vintage. Obviously Fleet Feet's going to be celebrating 50 years next year. So really coming out of that period. And so what you saw there was the club starting out and kind of harnessing that energy. And I got a big kick out of that flyer. The entry fee, $2.
Yeah, insane. Insane.
Some really fast runners, too, in that thing, right?
Yeah,
it was serious. I think the thing to think about, we kind of take it for granted now, like on any given weekend, you've got 5Ks, 10Ks, ultras, marathons.
Yeah.
But when it was first getting started, you know, this was really fulfilling, you know, kind of scratching an itch in the community. So you saw all those top runners, lots of sub 5 minute miles, looking at those old race results.
It's crazy.
Yeah. It's like, oh my good. Like I wasn't even making like the results page.
Yeah,
right.
Totally. That's what I was looking at too. It's like, oh, I know what my best 5K is, and it's nowhere near any of these folks.
Yeah. Pretty incredible. I think, you know, you had a lot of high school, runners, you had a lot of college runners, you had a lot of serious people running.
Yeah.
One of the people that jumped out to me was, Walt Schaefer, and he was the first race director of the Bidwell Classic and the Almond Bowl. And he's an emeritus professor of sociology at Chico State, and really an interesting Chico character, super involved in the community, Chico Rotary. He's the president of the Honey Run Bridge Association that helped with the rebuild, and was one of the pioneers with Chico Run Club, with Chico Velo. So like just did a huge amount of stuff, and he would be a fascinating guy to talk to in terms of what it was like back in that time, because you know, we don't know, I don't have, you know, we don't have like a lot of, you know, OGs or like longtime people. I mean, talking to people like, you know, Bobby Hastings and those type of folks, but just kind of seeing and also looking at those old race results, and you'll see like, oh look, there's Thomas Cushman and like, you know top five, you know, all these different folks. But it's just amazing what they were able to build and the momentum they had and just like the size of that race. So, you know, a lot of people don't realize that Almond Bowl and Bidwell Classic were both Chico Running Club races. And then those got turned over to Fleet Feet right around the pandemic time, just a little bit before. And at its peak, you're talking about a full marathon in the park, which I can't even fathom, because we're talking 4 laps.
Yeah.
You know, people complain about
that. Two is brutal.
True.
Right. So, but that's that's what it was. So it was 4 laps of the park on the full marathon. You know, talking about giving away like airline tickets. I think they had an Alaska Airlines sponsorship at one time. There was a Nike sponsorship. It was a Boston qualifier. So it was
no kidding.
It was a big deal back great. In the day.
Yeah. Yep. Wow. There's so much.
We don't know much.
Yeah. And like, you don't know what you don't know. And that's what I'm realizing right now is I don't even know what I don't know about Chico running.
Yeah. Who would have thought we could call him the vegan badass? We could also call him a historian because he's really filling us in on some amazing information, Mike. That's great, dude.
That's so cool. So, you know, I'm just thinking, and this is probably not a question that any of us in the room can answer. So the running boom of the 70s, I wonder if the momentum around running and fitness right now is even close to that, like if the energy is the same. And, you know, again, none of us are old enough to have any idea what that's like. So we, you know, what the 70s were like. So, I mean, it's hard for us to know, but Walt Schaefer might be someone that could shed some light on that.
Yeah, it would be real interesting to talk with him. I mean, just looking at, you know, the participants at the times, I think, and the times that they were thrown down, I think we're sort of an echo of that. But like, it looked like it was something back in the day for sure.
Yeah, that's well,
what shoes were they wearing?
Waffle trainers, Nike waffle trainers.
Well, and that's the amazing thing to think about too. Now we have all this
carbon plated.
We've got all the gear. You're so spoiled. Yeah. We've got all the training plans. We've got the nutrition, the electrolytes, the whole thing. Yeah. And they're just like, no, we're just going to run faster than you.
Yeah, and they did.
Yeah. Shout out to the Manny who's smashing around in sandals.
Yeah, right.
You just made me think of Manny.
Yeah.
Hope you're listening and doing well out there, bud. All right. So, hey, what days does the club meet now? And who's in the group?
So right now, we've got a few different runs that we do each week. The classic run is our Saturday morning group run. Right now, that's 8 o'clock. We start at 1 mile by Sycamore Pool there, and we'll usually do a lap of Lower Park. But we do like to mix up those Saturday groups, and we like to support our local races and do race training. So prior to the Fall Classic and the Endurance Challenge, we were out there doing Endurance Challenge loops.
Yeah.
And then coming up in December, what we're going to end up doing is Frost or Fog. So that one's always fun to go challenge Upper Park Road and start tackling that hill.
Yeah.
And we always have a good group of runners out there every Saturday in the weeks leading up to that, getting ready for that race. So that one's a lot of fun. A couple other things we do. Actually, coming up this week, we have a social meeting. And that's the second Tuesday of the month. So that's coming up this Tuesday at 5:30. We're going to be at the Commons. So we're going to be at the Commons for that meeting. And then...
is that open to the general pop?
Yeah, that's open to everyone.
That's so. Tuesday the 11th?
Tuesday the 11th, 5:30.
Count me in. Yeah. I may be doing a double dip tomorrow.
Club provides pizza. You guys do your... It's no host bar, so... But we've recently moved to the Commons, and good to support, you know, a cool local spot there.
They're a great supporter of the running community at large. They good do point. A lot of really good stuff. So shout out the Commons.
Yeah. Shout out to my boy Jesse over there and Byron. You should sponsor the show. We love you.
We like
we're sending a lot of runners your way.
Yeah.
So is Fleet Feet. So is CRC.
Yes.
So is BRC. That's cool, man. Okay, so who's in the group? I think I know a couple people. There might be a dude named Russell, a dude named Joffrey.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got... I mean, the great thing is there's so much crossover now, and especially as all these groups are really hitting their stride, you do get a lot of people who are more active in Fleet Feet or more active in BRC, but, you know, getting that crossover is great. So we've got all sorts of great folks involved. First off, just shout out to the folks on the CRC board. So we've got Russell Michael, we've got Joffrey Chiappella, who are both really active and, you know, just throwing down some crazy runs. I know Russell's getting ready for CIM coming up here.
Let's go.
In a little bit. And Joffrey, I want his frequent flyer card because he's everywhere.
Dude, everywhere. All the time. And like
smashing.
And nowhere lousy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not like some podunk middle of nowhere. Like, why are we here? It's always fun places.
Yeah. I like when I travel because he'll like share routes I should run where I am.
Yeah.
Which just goes to show you that he's been there and he's ran those routes before.
Yeah.
And they're always great routes to run.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. A couple other board members. So we've got Melissa Kitts. She's a really accomplished marathoner who's done a bunch of stuff. And then we've got former mayor of Chico, Randall Stone, and his wife, Krista Stone. And shout out to Randall because he was the one who really stepped up at sort of a transitional time for the club. And he said, okay, you know, I'm going to kind of be a transitional president and keep this party going. So a big shout out to him for kind of keeping the lights on for that. But those are kind of our core in terms of our our board members there. I'm trying to think if I'm missing anyone. I think I've got everyone. And then a couple of folks that I know they have been real involved with BRC lately is Tom and Ursula Parker. Mm-hmm. So, and they've done a lot and helped us out in terms of volunteering and races and everything else. So they're definitely fixtures of the Chico running community.
They are basalt of the earth. Yeah. People.
They rock. Yes, they rock do. For sure. Rock. All right. Hey, how about this? I joined a CRC run a while back. We scooted around the park, had a little fun at Ali's Pub afterwards. It was a pretty fun time. I mean, Ryan got stung by a bee that night, so I felt a little bad for Ryan. But everybody, you know, we still had a good atmosphere. It was a good time. That was a little bit of a quirky moment, though, getting stung by a bee. Are there any favorite CRC memories or other quirky moments that jump out to you or anything, I don't know, amazing that's happened during a CRC run?
Well, a couple things. We're talking about Tom and Ursula. So the first time that I show up, I show up in my joke shirt. So that's this vegan badass shirt.
Yep. It's not a joke shirt. That's a way of life. Mike.
Let's go.
Yes. It's advertising right there. So on the front, it says vegan badass. On the back, it says run faster. A vegan just passed you. So anyway, I show up to the group. It's just a small group. And Tom and Ursula are out there. And Tom's like, oh, you know, what kind of paces are you running? I don't know, 8-minute miles. He's like, oh, 8-minute miles. Okay. So if you've ever run with Tom, he is a notoriously slow starter. Like he'll just start out like very slow and deliberate. And then we did our loop of Lower Park and, you know, he hit the bridge and he just put the jets on. He's like, I'm going to drop this new guy. Right? He just absolutely smoked me. So that was my initiation to CRC. Another standout moment is, I was actually not this run, but I saw the pictures. We meet at Sycamore Pool, right at the bathrooms there, Lower Park. And there was a car in the pool. Somebody had an accident where it was a BMW. Uh-oh. And it was lodged halfway in the pool at the start of the group run. So that was a memorable moment for sure.
The park seems to provide endless entertainment.
That's absolutely.
For better or for worse sometimes.
Oh, man, that's great. So what does it mean to you to see CRC hit 50 years? And what do you hope the next 50 years looks like?
Oh, man, that...
Deep. We're getting deep. Yeah. Let's go.
For sure. I think you see just that heritage that and that community that Chico has and what a great place Chico is to run, just in terms of both the community, the topography, the trails, the roads, Bidwell Park, all those pieces that we have. So, you know, it's a celebration of being sort of a legacy run club, but at the same time, kind of looking forward, we're just taking it, you know, 1 year at a time. So sure. Just kind of looking at how we can kind of start this next chapter of CRC, how we can rebuild the club. And we're really doing that. We relaunched our website within the last couple of years. We got new membership set up. And so we've got a monthly newsletter now that we're pushing out that we're getting,
just signed up for that.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. Yep. So we're getting more Let's and more go. People and highlighting, you know, every month on the newsletter, we highlight runs of the month. Right. And so at first it was just, you know, it was one run or two runs. And I think this last, you know, because we're in race season this last month, we had like 5 runs of the month.
Wow.
So just fun to kind of push out the events we're doing, celebrate people's performances and just kind of, you know, connect that community together.
Yeah. Love that. That's amazing. Well, hey, we're going to take a quick break. We've got something new this show.
Yeah,
this
we
episode.
Do. We do.
We got a partnership going with Fleet Feet Chico, who will be celebrating 50 years next year.
Which is news to me.
News to me,
again,
too.
Again, you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah, Mike's dropping facts over here and knowledge. Straight appreciate that.
Maybe Mike could be our producer that like feeds us like facts in the headphones, right? You're like on like a sports cast, right? Watching a football game. Those guys don't know all those facts off the top of their head. They've got geniuses doing the hard work, feeding them the content. Yeah.
I like that. And keep on coming with those older graphics of races because those were amazing.
Yeah.
Anyway, Fleet Feet Chico here in town. We got a partnership going. We're going to work a little giveaway here. And we've got some items.
We did.
That they've handed over to us. And the first item that we're going to give away is some gators.
Some gators.
Some gators, okay? It's you know, kind of wet out there. Sometimes you're kicking up some rocks or kicking up some dust. Mm-hmm. And when those get into your shoes and you're on a run, it's a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
There's some discomfort there. Yeah. I don't want to step on those things.
Definitely don't.
Yeah. I like a little protection around the ankles, a little shield.
Definitely.
Block them.
Definitely.
It's a good time to use them.
Yes.
So here's how you can get your hands on a new pair of gaiters. My man, Pete, who, by the way, did a massive run with us this weekend and was just talking about how sore he was, but still pushed it so hard at the end and flew right by us to finish very fast. So shout out Pusha Pete. My man Pete's got an Instagram page. What's your handle?
Peter.runs.hills. Peter Runs Hills.
Yeah, so you got to go give Pete a follow at Peter.runs.hills if you haven't already followed. And you're going to comment, I want to be like Mike.
Yes.
So Pete's going to share this episode. He's going to share a picture. He's going to tell you where you can listen to it.
Yep.
In the next couple days. And if you're the first person to comment, I want to be like Mike on there. I want to be like Mike. You're going to win a pair of gaiters.
We got them waiting for you.
We got them waiting for you. Shout out Fleet Feet. We've got more giveaways on the way. This is the first time we've done this. Hopefully that didn't take too long to explain. But I'll get better, people. I'll get better. Work with me. Let's go. All right, we'll be right back, and we'll talk a little bit about Mike and his community and family and collaboration and involvement with the Chico Striders and timing races. So far, it's been a hell of a guest, historian dropping knowledge and facts. We'll be right back.
Two very boring minutes later.
Okay, welcome back. Segment two, Running as a Family Affair. Let's go, Pete.
Yeah. So, you know, we've spent a lot of time over past episodes talking about the Chico Striders. We had Danny DeMeo on here talking about how he's helping the youth in this community get into running and his running story. And as it turns out, Mike is also tied in with the Chico Striders. Mike, tell us about your daughter who runs with the Striders and your involvement with the Striders and what you're doing to kind of support them.
Yeah, for sure. So my daughter, Zoe, she's a seventh grader. She goes to Chico Country Day. And she started running. First, she started, she did the Girls on the Run program.
Yeah, another great program.
Yeah, yeah. So she did that for 3 years, would do that. You do that 5K race out at Butte College, uh-huh. And that's a lot of fun. We had 1 year where it was just absolutely raining, like pouring cats and dogs, right?
And she came back and wanted to run more after that?
She came back. So, yes. Yeah, she's
in.
Yeah, she's tough for sure. But it's been so much fun to have her in the Striders program. And really cool to get to know Danny DeMeo a little bit better.
So great.
Great dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Just incredible. The time and the energy and, you know, all that work that he does is all volunteer work. You know, it's all about building up Striders and youth running. It's incredible.
Yeah.
You know, what they've started there. So.
Yeah. Big fan of Danny DeMeo. You know, I think, and, you know, maybe Zoe is getting this as well with running with the Striders, but he's just so positive and supportive. And I don't know, all three of my kids have run with Danny at different points and they all just come out of it feeling so much more confident, like they can do hard things, right? Because running's not easy, especially when you are 9, 10, 11, like to go out there and run a couple miles is not easy. So yeah, the Striders is such a great program and what they provide, and it's such a positive outlet, and everybody who's involved, all the coaches are just so focused on making it the best experience they can for the kids. And I think that's why it resonates so much with so many people in our community.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you just think about the variety of people that they have coaching. They've got Irish out there from Chico State, who is just, she's incredible. You know,
in yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So all that group, Tony, Matt, a lot of the different guys out there, was just up in, Paradise this last weekend with the Striders.
Yeah.
And we were doing the Phoenix 5K.
Let's go.
And that was great because that race, they gave complimentary entry to all the Striders, you know, just to get, you know, allow them to run that race and to get involved in Paradise there. So
amazing.
Yeah. And again, I think it speaks to what Danny and the rest of the coaches there are building, in that they're out there to support their communities and to be able to get some race entries for kids is incredible because it gets the buy-in from the kids too.
Yeah, and then they drag their parents along too. Yeah. So, I mean, that's part of the fun there as well. But it has been so incredible to watch Zoe progress from doing Girls on the Run to now into Striders. And she's done it now a couple years. So she did the cross country season last year. Mm-hmm. She did the track season. Now she's back for cross country season again this year. And just the progress and just, you know, the great thing about seeing the kids at these different levels is just the potential, the bounciness, right? Just, you know, it's incredible. Like last spring, I was lucky enough that I would tag along to PV for their Tuesday track session.
Yeah.
So the middle school group, they would do their track training out of PV. The other couple days a week, they would do runs in the park. But like, I would be like, well, I could drop her off and then go home for half an hour, or I could just run, you know, I could run the outside of the track while the Striders are running the inside of the track. So that was a lot of fun. And I don't know if you guys know, but it is very difficult to get on a track in Chico.
Yes. Yeah. That was one of the things that Danny said, is it's hard to get the okay from the school districts to go out and use the facilities.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like growing up, anyone could just, if the track wasn't used, you could just walk on.
Yeah.
But now, you know, where those are some serious facilities that they've got, you know, they definitely manage those. And I know Chico Running Club at one time tried to reach out to the district, and they're like, oh yeah, you can have, you know, Sunday nights at 10 o'clock.
Yeah. Yeah. For 25 minutes.
Yeah.
And then we have to turn off the big floodlights because the neighborhoods have to sleep, and don't you dare play music while you're out there because it's in a neighborhood.
Yeah. So I was spoiled getting to go out there, but also you get to see the kids' progress. I tried to run with Zoe a couple times. Danny one time's like, oh, do you want a pacer? And she's like, oh no, that's all right.
Yeah.
Dad could just run his own thing.
Yeah.
But last spring, it was incredible. So she really progressed through the track season. And at the end, they were doing their PR day.
Mm-hmm.
And she dropped, I want to say it was a 620, 1600. So it's like, I officially can no longer keep up with the girl.
It's get just, the bike out.
Yeah. Yep, it's pretty much the case. I have to, so like I paced that race in Paradise for her, and she ran faster on that hilly course. There's quite a few hills going through town there than she did. She ran the Almond Bowl the week before. So we're just a little bit over 25 minutes, but she did great there. But you know, I definitely have to focus on the longer distance because I'm not keeping up with her over the short distance.
That's incredible. Oh, and that's another thing about Striders that I really appreciated, was that I could stay and go on the runs with the team. Danny was always more than happy. I think part of it is, having more adult supervision when you have 30, 40, 50 kids out running. It's hard to keep an eye on that many folks when you have like two adults. So any adults that show up to help. But also, what a great way to spend some time with your kids in a really positive place where you're doing something physical and healthy. Because there's probably not a lot, there's probably not enough of that, generally speaking, where families are out being active together. So really cool. And I'm glad that you got to do that and get to do that with Zoe, because it's definitely a special time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And we had the whole family out for the Almond Bowl the week before. My son, we're always like, he's like, do not sign me up for any more races without my permission.
Yeah.
Right. We're like, well, the whole family's doing it. He's like, oh, come on, you guys.
Yeah. Peer pressure, the best kind.
Yeah. But he ends up, you know, he ends up holding his own, and he does great on those races as well. But no, it's been really fun to see the kids grow and be able to do that.
Yeah. So, you know, we touched on Striders, we touched on CRC. They work together a lot. I remember a couple months ago at the Beat the Coach Mile, I was out there with both my daughters who ran it. Well, one of them was injured and didn't end up running, but I saw you sitting at the table working on timing. Can you tell us a little bit about the relationship between CRC and Striders? Is that like a team kind of a combination there?
Yeah,
it's been collaboration.
It's been a great partnership that's kind of grown over the last few years. So it started with their Run Strong scholarship program. Mm. And so Danny started that, I want to say that was three or four years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He started with a single $1,000 scholarship that they awarded to an alumni of the Striders program who was graduating from high school, and typically was someone who was going off to run collegiately.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were able to find some great recipients for that. And he came to Chico Running Club early on. We were one of the founding sponsors of that scholarship. And so we were able to team and do that over the first couple of years.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So then from there, we kind of built it up where this past year we relaunched the 4th of July 5K. So this had kind of been a traditional Chico Running Club event. We partnered way back in the day with Card. So that used to be a fundraiser with Card. Before my time, they used to have like a pancake breakfast and did the whole thing up.
Some flapjacks?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Vegan.
Absolutely. And so we relaunched that this past year because there definitely was a need for that race. And we teamed up with Danny and Striders and kind of hosted a joint race with the 4th of July. And it was incredible. So in our first year, we had about 150 people show up to that race.
Yeah.
And we were able to not only fund, so we funded a couple scholarships for that program, but we were successful enough that we funded next year's scholarships as well. So we're just looking at building on that momentum. And Danny's gone from funding a single scholarship to now last year he funded $5,000 scholarships for youth runners.
Gosh, the guy's got a motor, not just for running, but for his community. Yeah. And I mean, if the Chico community isn't aware of him, look him up. I know we've had him on and talked about it and pumped what he does, but ChicoStriders.com, go learn more about him.
Yeah, no doubt. The scholarship impact's so cool. It's so clutch.
Yeah.
Shout out to you and CRC for getting involved in that. It's amazing.
Yeah, no, it truly was a community effort. So this year, Fleet Feet came on board and they sponsored a scholarship. We had Bobby Hastings and the guys out at the original A-Team, that running group, and they funded a scholarship there, and then CRC did one, and then there also was a memorial scholarship that a local family did.
Mm-hmm.
So again, we funded five runners this year, and just building on that momentum. And that really is the important thing about having a variety of races and having the nonprofits be involved in the races and fundraising and scholarships and programs like that. Because we can run a pretty lean and mean race, and we can raise a lot of money for local programs like that.
Yeah.
I feel like Ross and Peter's Pot on the Run needs to be a sponsor one of these years.
Yeah.
We can keep growing, keep doing this thing.
Yeah.
That's a dream of mine.
Mine too. We need to give back.
Yeah.
We talk a lot about the community, but let's do something about that.
That's a good call,
man.
Let's
do it.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
What about upcoming races? Is there something going down on New Year's Eve?
So
and New Year's Day?
So it's double trouble around New Year's. So the traditional runs, and these have been around forever, is we do a twilight run on New Year's Eve. So we all meet out at Wildwood Park and we do a 5K out and back. And that's just a fun little close out to the year. We run out to Horseshoe Lake and back. And then the New Year's Day 5K is on that regular city course. But we've got the coffee and donuts ready at the finish line. And that is a completely free 5K. Registration just opened up. So you can sign up for that so we know how much goodies to buy.
Totally.
But last year we had about 100 people show up. And that's just a great way to start the year and start the running year off right.
So. Yeah. How many people go from the New Year's Day 5K to the Polar Bear Plunge?
I was just thinking that.
There's definitely been talk of that. I have never done that. I don't know if you're getting me in that cold water.
There is zero chance. There's been extensive talk about my preference for warm water on this podcast. So those of you that are insane enough to go jump in that water on January 1st, good for you. Find me in the nearest hot tub. Very cool. So those are coming up. Anything else that we should be looking out for in the coming beginning of the year, first few months?
Yeah. So we're teasing a new race.
What?
Yeah.
And what we're trying to do is just kind of come up with some new and different events. So the first week after New Year's, we're doing what's called the Jackpot Mile. And this one's a little bit different. So that's going to be on January 10th. It's going to be on that new silky smooth asphalt of Peterson Memorial Drive.
Oh, it's so nice.
And the thing I like about this race is that, first off, we don't call it the Jackpot Mile for nothing. So there's going to be some money involved. Yep. So what it's going to be is that you'll come in and you'll register for this race and you'll name your running pace. And the thing I like about that is that means any person of any age, any ability, you know, it's not just about, you know, the fast thoroughbreds who can run a fast mile. This is about how accurately can you pace your mile. So you're going to tell us, okay, I'm going to run an 8-minute mile, and then we're all going to line up, but you're going to give me your phone, you're going to give me your watch, you're going to run that thing blind. So you're going to run that mile.
Whoa.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah. So you're gonna go out and back, and we're going to see how well you can dial into that pace. And then the way it's going to work is it's going to be a 50-50 split. So 50% is going to go to the jackpot, and then our top runners are going to get some pretty cool cash prizes, and then we'll have some other nice prizes for
folks.
What
a fun idea.
That's incredible. I saw that post.
Who came up with this?
Yeah, I saw that post, and it said you're going to run a blind. I was like, wait, are they going to
blindfold me?
Yeah, that's my first thought was, oh, this is going to get ugly. I hope they have the paramedics on call.
Fall into 1 mile.
Yeah, right? Just talking about how awful that water is. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's really about figuring out, you know, do you know your all-out pace? Right. And you can just nail that, you know. If you're Logan, you can nail that 5-minute mile, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, you'll be able to go in and do that. But I think it'll be a really fun event.
Wow. How did you come up with that?
It was something that I had seen some other run clubs do in terms of kind of doing that blind pace. Because I know I am super reliant on those splits and, you know, every time the watch beeps. So, you know, it's just something a little bit different, kind of mixing it up from what's usual.
It'd be cool.
But then it won't get posted to Strava. How will the world know that I ran? I need that external validation.
Well, we'll throw that on run sign up in the race results. So we'll all be able to pour over those.
That's so good. That sounds like a lot of fun.
It does sound fun.
Yeah. I'm just like trying to think strategy now that you're talking about, like, do you run all out and know that, you know, like my all out is 7 minutes, or like, do you count your steps and try to get a cadence that you're really comfortable with? Yeah.
Strategy is interesting.
Well, and we talked a little bit about race timing. So in race timing, I'm so used to, like, so the club has a really cool professional race clock.
Yeah, they do.
That we've put up at our events. And so I'm like, oh yeah, I'll get the table, I'll get the race clock. And I'm like, hold on, wait, no, this is a blind race. You know, it's all going to be done just on the regular splits. So.
Wow. That's fun.
It's fun.
Yeah.
What day?
So that is January 10th. So that's that first Saturday after New Year's. It's going to be at 9:00. And, you know, the more runners that sign up, the bigger the pot's going to be. So sign up.
How do we sign up?
Yeah. Is it open already?
It is open already, and it's on Run Sign Up. It is $20.
Okay.
Hell of a deal.
Practically free. That's
Mike, you should have charged more.
Yeah. Wow. That, yeah. Okay. I'm in.
That's awesome. What a good idea.
And I, you know, sorry to go and to keep coming back to this, but that's a race that literally anybody has a chance of winning.
Yeah, that's the fun part is that, you know, for a lot of people, you know, you're running a mile, you're running 5K, whatever else, and you're running your pace, but you're not going to be on the podium.
Yeah.
But now you've got the chance to show out and nail that pace. So.
Yeah.
Odds of somebody running like exactly their pace for the full mile.
Yeah, so is that how you'll figure out who wins, like who's closest to hitting their pace?
Yeah, so again,
so if 5 people hit it, then the money's split between, or the prize is split between the 5 people.
Exactly. Okay. So we'll kind of split it out, you know, first, second, third, we'll kind of dial it out again depending on our pot size and how many slices that we can carve off of that. But yes, we'll go in, and there's a question in the registration where it says, "Okay, what's your target?" So you're going to put down your target pace, and at registration you can revise. You know,
that's what I was going to ask. What if I change my mind the day of?
It'll be interesting to see if people train for this. Right. You know, if people are going to, like, you know, kind of dial that pace and do that. I know in my marathon training, my coach would assign me blind base runs where it'd be like, okay, I want you to feel zone two. I want you to feel tempo. I want you to feel threshold, right? And you get that, you get that feel, because having that feel is almost more important than the heart rate or the watch. You want to know what those paces feel like.
Yeah.
So this is your chance to show it.
Very cool.
Yeah. That's a, what a good wrinkle and change for the races. Awesome. Well, you know, it's about that time in the pod where we hydrate.
We got to hydrate.
We got to hydrate. You got to stay hydrated. So we're going to get hydrated and we'll be right back.
Yeah, and I bet you were slugging down some water during the Fall Trail Classic.
You bet your bippy I was.
Yeah, I had a little bit. I was guzzling that water. I had some element salt. I had some liquid IV. And, you know, if you're looking for hydration for your financial future, I know a guy who can help you learn more about that.
Oh, yeah? Who's that?
It's none other than our friend Dan Malden.
Oh, he runs with BRC, so a lot of us know him pretty well. But you may not know that he can help hydrate your bank account to ensure you reach your financial finish line.
Yeah, I just ran a 50K. You just ran a 50K, but I got to be thinking about my 401K. So if you're looking for some 401K or financial coaching, look up Dan Malden. His phone number is
530-500-2782. Look him up, Dan Malden.
Let's go.
5 minutes later.
Okay, welcome back. Well, between the Chico Run Club and history and involvement that Mike has, as well as being involved with Chico Striders and the family and the community and what CRC is doing locally and this amazing idea of Jackpot Mile, we haven't had really an opportunity to get into Mike's running journey. Yeah. Like, Mike, you're a badass runner, the vegan badass runner.
Yeah.
And somebody who's accomplished a lot of things. And recently ran a marathon that we got to get into and talk about. But first, let's start here. How long have you been running and what got you started?
So I had always run on and off for fitness, but I was not a runner in high school. Like, you could not have paid me, right?
Welcome to the club. You're in good company, Mike. You are in good company.
Yeah. So, I mean, always running to kind of keep in shape and everything, but never really serious about it and never really strung together anything too impressive until the pandemic hit. And that was a big life change for our family. We were living down in Petaluma and COVID hit. And so we're like, okay, well, my family has a little place up in Tehama County. So we're like, we'll go there for 2 or 3 weeks for spring break. This whole thing will blow over and then we'll go home and things will go back to normal. But as we all know, things didn't go back to normal. And a year and a half later, we were still up on the farm. And so we were saying, well, what about moving to Chico? And so that's how we ended up in Chico. But during that time of the pandemic, I don't know if you guys remember it, but you had to get out of the house.
Yep.
And you couldn't go do anything. So, of course, the best thing to go do was go run. So I would just go out every other day. I'd run 5 miles. And that's just sort of, that was just sort of what it was. Like, didn't go much longer than that. Did not have the watch. Didn't track anything. Just went out and got my 5 miles in and did that. And did that for a few years coming out of the pandemic. Wow. Yeah. So then from there, we moved to Chico. Started to get a little bit more involved. And had a buddy who was doing some half marathons in San Francisco. And he's like, oh, do you want to do a half marathon? I was like, well, I'm doing, like, I feel like I could do that. You know, I'm doing the runs and everything else. So my buddy Jason, who lives down in LA, we did our first half marathon. And that kind of got me into it a little bit more. And then the following year ended up, started running with CRC. And kind of the rest took off from there.
Yeah, that's cool. Like, again, like, cool. Ross and I got into this running stuff much later, too. Like, we've talked about it at length. Like, running was just, we ran when we played basketball or from home plate to first base or away from our parents. But, like, it was never something serious. And it's just cool to find more people who are in that same boat where it gave them something that they were looking for later in life. Running can fill a lot of people's buckets for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah, absolutely. I like the fact that it was a hobby that you picked up during COVID. Like that's, you know, you're not the only one. You know,
yeah, I think that's sort of responsible for this, you know, kind of little running boom that we're experiencing right now. It's just a lot of
really good point.
Yeah, a lot of people doing that, joining run clubs and kind of going from there.
Totally.
What races have you done, Mike?
So I started out kind of doing half marathons. So I did a half dozen different half marathons. The first one I did was, it was sponsored by Kaiser at the time. It's called the Kaiser San Francisco Half Marathon. Yep. And that started in Golden Gate Park. It was really cool. Again, did that with my buddy from LA for a couple years. And then the third year we were signed up, and it's just kind of a yearly thing. We'd get an Airbnb, we'd bring the families and the whole thing. And is at the worst time of year. Not bad for San Francisco, but is in February.
Oh,
and a couple years ago, a huge winter storm rolled through, and 30 minutes before start, they canceled the race.
No way.
And people were not, myself included, were not happy. So,
yeah.
So my buddy and I were like, okay, well, we're here. Like, you know, let's go run, right? So we go and we're running through the park. And the big thing, you know, if you've been in Golden Gate Park, there's all those big eucalyptus trees. Mm-hmm. There's all those big cypress trees. And there was a lot of wind. I think that's probably one of the big things that you couldn't have aid stations that day. Yeah. They'd be gone.
Yeah.
Right. And so we're running through Golden Gate Park. And then all of a sudden we look up at this big cypress tree and just, you know, it splits in half and falls to the ground.
No
we're like,
way.
All right, I think we might need to get out of here.
Yeah. I get why they canceled. Okay. Yeah, no, okay. This is justified now.
It was the right call. It's just like everything. And it's really hard for race directors, sure. right? Because you're trying everything. Everyone's there. You're trying everything you can do to make that race happen. That happened too with the Twin Cities Marathon. We can talk a little bit about that. But, you know, I totally get it, but it's just brutal to, you know, be going to the start line and people are driving by being like, no, it's canceled.
Yeah, that's got to be incredibly frustrating. And especially, you know, when you make a weekend trip of it, right? You bring the family, you rent an Airbnb, you've put in the money for the entry fee. Oh, man, what a bummer.
Yeah, yeah, it's hard. It's hard with those destination races that way.
But so you said you've done about a half, you did about a half dozen half marathons at that point. And then recently Ross alluded to it, you ran the Twin Cities Marathon.
Yeah. So this was my first marathon.
Okay. It was, we were talking about that. I was like, I don't know. I bet Mike's done more than one marathon.
No, I said to my wife, I was like, I'm never running a marathon. Right.
I've said that several times too.
Yeah. like, no, don't need to, you know, halves are fun. And then, you know, it's one of those things you just kind of get roped into it. Other people are doing it. You're hanging out with folks at the run club. Yeah. Right. And then all of a sudden you're signed up for a marathon.
Yeah.
That's how it happens.
So why the Twin Cities Marathon? There's a gazillion of them on the West Coast here.
Yeah. So I started out and I said, okay, if I'm going to do one of these, go big or go home. So okay. I put in for the Chicago Marathon lottery and I didn't get it. And, you know, the majors are getting so difficult now to get a lottery draw on. You know, it used to be like on a race like Chicago, you might have a 40 or 50% chance. I think that race is down. It might be under 20% now. New York, London, you know, they're fractions, you know, Tokyo, they're all 1% chance or less. You know, it's just so hard to get into these races now. Yeah. So I was looking around for different races, and Twin Cities is kind of what you would call, it's in that mid-major tier. Mm-hmm. It's about the size of CIM.
Okay.
But I said to myself, you know, I can run CIM anytime. I want my first marathon to kind of be memorable.
Yeah.
And then also, you know, as a selling point to my wife, to be like, oh, you're going to get a trip out of the
deal. Yeah.
And so she's like, oh yeah, if you want to run these marathons, and take
that's
me
all
along.
It takes?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to try that.
Yeah. No
Lisa?
Problem. Yeah, so I went all in on Twin Cities. So I had built up over the year previous, I built up some pretty good base mileage, was feeling pretty good. And I had sort of a block before I kind of started training where I, you know, got my mileage up. But I'm a big fan of running YouTube. And we put this in the CRC newsletter. We have a video of the month where we feature. And there's so many cool, cool content creators on YouTube from all over the world. And so one of the ones that I'm a fan of, it's a channel called This Messy Happy, and it's a husband and wife running team who are British, and they're both school teachers, and they were successful enough in their channel that this past year they were just able to quit their day jobs, and they've gone all in on run coaching and on their YouTube channel.
Wow. Ross, we got to start
awesome.
Putting this on YouTube. I'm ready to quit.
So I signed up with Ben. It's Ben and Mary Bridges. I signed up with Ben. And you know, it's like, all right, we're going to do this. We're going to do it right. And did one-on-one run coaching with him during that time and leading up to the Twin Cities.
Whoa. So,
no way.
So were you guys like on Zoom or FaceTime or something talking about plans? Was it via email, text message?
So it's a little bit of everything. But just because of, you know, kind of a hectic life, you know, I didn't have the opportunity to like sign up for a Fleet Feet, you know, yeah, training program. That totally would be the logical, like, oh yeah, let's get in on, sure, on one of their great programs. But I needed something that was a little bit more flexible that I could tailor.
Yeah.
And so one of the main ways that a lot of coaches do it is on Training Peaks. Oh. So he would set my schedule. And that was one of the great things about working with a coach is I didn't have to worry about the plan. That's... And it was so much easier to follow through on the plan when, mm-hmm, you've got someone guiding you and someone also kind of looking over your shoulder, right?
So, absolutely.
I won't speak to strength and conditioning, but I pretty much nailed all the assigned runs throughout the program. So that was a lot of fun and just a little bit easier. So what we would do is we would have like, you know, a once a month video chat where we check in, and then we would just do text messages, mm-hmm, on WhatsApp. He's based out of Thailand, so that's 12 or 13 hours ahead. So you kind of be planning and kind of, yeah, syncing up, you know, what you're looking for in terms of that. But it was a really cool experience, and kind of for a first marathon, it definitely made it different.
That's so cool. Interesting.
I didn't know that existed.
Yeah.
That you could do that via YouTube, like find somebody.
On a coach via, yeah, YouTube.
Oh man.
Yeah, no.
I'm so far behind.
No, there's a lot of run coaches out there that offer those type of things, and more and more, you know, options out there.
Yeah. So you put in all this hard work, you were happy with the training block, getting ready for it. How'd the race go?
Yeah.
Well, I think I learned, like many others, that the marathon owes you nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I was super happy, hit my mileages, you know, peak week I was up in the 50s. I think peak week was over 60 miles. So kind of nailed that. And then we went out to the Twin Cities. So it was my wife and I, and we rented an Airbnb downtown. And I have a buddy who is also a runner who lives in Toronto. And so he came along for the ride too. So we were all staying in downtown Minneapolis, and again, kind of made a little trip out of it. So we got to tour around. We got to visit some friends. We got to go out to Paisley Park, which is
Hello Prince.
Hello Prince. which was, I didn't, you know, obviously that's the cool thing about Minneapolis is he was, you know, sort of Minneapolis born and bred and,
yeah,
very true to and his loved roots it there. Yeah. Yeah. So that was a cool thing. My wife went out. I stayed home and rested getting ready for the marathon, but she went out to First Avenue, which is the club where Prince performed, uh-huh, and everything else. And we rented e-bikes and rode along the Mississippi River. So like, if you haven't been out to Minnesota and you haven't been to the Twin Cities, especially that time of year in the fall, we were saying to some friends, we're like, oh, this is amazing here. You know, we could live here. Like, yeah, you could live here now.
Yeah.
2 months.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's think about January. Yeah. Pete the Form is from Minnesota, yep, and lived in Minneapolis for a while and raved about it. So, you know, it's good to hear it's the real deal. It's not just a local bias he has.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was definitely fun. The challenge that all marathons are having and what the Twin Cities has had is, you know, so that's in the first part of October, and we were dealing with some warm weather. Mm-hmm. So 2 years ago, similar thing happened in Twin Cities where they had to cancel the marathon, wow, completely. And it was one of those, I forget if they did it the night before or the morning. I think it was morning of as, oof, well, you know, 5 a.m. They, yeah, said it's too hot. You know, we're worried about high temperatures, high humidity.
Yeah.
We were a little worried going into it because forecast, and it was great for visiting. So I think we hit high 80s, maybe even low 90s the, ooh, weekend leading, yeah, up to it. And so like you're clicking refresh on the weather being like, yeah, come on, come down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And at the start line, you know, and this is something not having a lot of experience with the marathon. So it was 68 at the start line.
Ooh.
And you're thinking about like for, you know, if you don't have a lot of experience in marathon training, you're like, oh, what's the big deal? 68,
yeah,
that's not bad. But it was under yellow. I forget how they tier it, yellow flag, uh-huh, I think is what they do. So it was under yellow flag conditions there. So it was definitely something where you had to watch it.
And there's probably some humidity too, right?
It wasn't, there was humidity, but it wasn't, okay, it wasn't super muggy. It wasn't bad from there. But you know, the thing I noticed, you're taking off the first few miles and you know, my coach and I, we had it was great because he really works off heart rate training. And so he had a whole plan laid out for me in terms of, you know, what zones I should be in, what ranges I should be in. And I just blew those out of the water, you know, straight off the gun. You're running hot the whole time. And so, you know, I was really happy with, so, you know, I was running with my buddy and he's like, I'm just going to stick with you. And I was like, all right, let's do it. Right. Let's go. And so, I ran the first half and I pretty much nailed the paces. And it was funny. So we have a group chat on WhatsApp for Chico Running Club. And it's funny, like looking back after I finished the race, they're like, oh yeah, he's doing great and everything. And then the second half was another story. So at the 30K point, I was still, you know, I'd started to fade a little bit, but I was like, okay, I need to save up a little bit. Twin Cities is not quite as brutal as Boston, but it does have, you know, a pretty serious little hill coming back where you're coming off the Mississippi River and then you're climbing this hill called Summit Avenue, fittingly, to go over the hill and then finish at the state capitol. And so that hill just completely kicked me in the teeth. Yeah, really felt it and felt that heat. So I hit everything. And then just like so many people, that last 10K of the marathon was brutal.
Yeah.
Wow. So it was a 6 mile ascent. You say 10K?
Yeah. So the final 10K and that hill. So you're probably looking, and again, it doesn't sound crazy, about 300 feet of elevation gain. But at the end of the marathon, sure, and over the final 10K, in that ascent, maybe over, you know, 3 miles or so. Oof. Yeah. Yeah. So it definitely caught up to me.
Similar to Humboldt?
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit.
It's the last hill I want to run 20 miles in. Yeah.
Yeah. not nearly as brutal. I mean, Humboldt is pretty steep, so this was a little bit more gradual, but it felt just like it.
Yeah, so, especially after that distance.
Yeah, 20 miles in. Everything feels hard after 20 miles.
Yeah, and I was so proud. I made it to like mile 26, and I had degraded to like 10-minute mile pace. It's just like, put the head down, one foot in front of the other, and I was like, haven't walked. I'm gonna nail the whole thing. And I got top of the hill, and the legs were just like froze up, and I walked for like 15 seconds. I was like, all right, got to do it. And then it's funny because on the website where they give you your certificate or whatever, they have the live feed, and it's tagged by bib number, so you can watch yourself come over the line on the video. And, you know, everyone in like my cohort, everyone's just like, oh, you know, you're not like charging the light. Yeah. Everyone's just looking like, oh man, I'm finished.
Is it over?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
What was your time?
So I ended up being 3:42.
Incredible.
And, you know, it's one of those things.
So cool.
I had laid out a goal for myself, right? My goal was 3:30. So I missed that. But in my defense, I was reading some stuff after the race, and about a 12 minute differential year over year. So people were 12 minutes slower this year than they were the previous year.
I don't think you owe anybody an explanation for that. You ran a marathon. We say it here all the time. It's about finish lines, not finish times. And you did the work, and you accomplished the goal of running the marathon. So kudos to you, man. That's
a great time too.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Great
time. Really cool.
You know, one of my favorite elements to this was in training for Twin Cities. You ran a 35K across Chico that fittingly included Humboldt.
Naturally.
You know, which was, I guess, probably a good hill to train with. It was flattering, dude, because you did check-ins, you kind of did storytelling, you did kind of a vibe that sometimes I try and throw out there with the Run Ross Run social media stuff that I do. Man, when you shared that, dude, it filled my heart, man. And, you know, thank you for that tribute, that shout out. It was fun to see that. I took it, remixed it, and put the I Want to Be Like Mike track from the Gatorade commercial, you know, because it felt fitting to just like share some love with you and some gratitude to you, because you kicked my butt in the Bidwell Classic half marathon earlier this year. And the fact that you took the time out to make that video meant a lot to me, man. It was cool. So we're forever creative camaraderie brothers linked through this video process. What made you want to do that?
Oh, I mean, it was just watching all these videos. And the funny thing is, like, I'm not, with the exception of Strava, Strava is my only social media. So there's no Instagram, there's no Facebook, there's no TikTok, there's no anything else. And Strava is like
raw dog in life with no social media.
Right, right. And Strava is like the perfect social media because like it's just one thing. There's not a lot of noise, right? It's
totally.
All, especially in our community, it's all positive.
Really positive.
You know, the Strava app and the Strava platform, like sometimes, you know, is a little bit challenging to deal with and like to the point, like, so I had done these clips. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to upload them onto Strava. And they're like, well, you get 30 seconds per clip, sir. And so like I ended up posting all these little chopped up clips. And then Mixmaster Ross over here was like, oh, I know exactly what to do with these. So,
yeah, that was cool, man. It was fun to watch. I'll remember that one for a while, dude. I had to remix it. I was pretty flattered. Let's go.
Yes, sir. So you've knocked out your first marathon. Any bucket list marathons or races that you're like eyeing at some point, whether it's you solo, you with Zoe, what's the long-term or future racing looking like, you think?
Well, so I put in for Chicago again this year. So it'd be great to run some of the majors, Chicago, New York, London, like any of those races would be amazing. Valencia Marathon is another one in Spain that looks really cool. It's fast and flat and, you know, is another kind of big, almost major marathon. So kind of looking at those. I'm getting 10 extra minutes this year because I'm aging up, right? So I'm getting 10 extra minutes from Boston. That's still like way off in the horizon. And like, I can't believe the crew that is heading out there this year. And all these amazing runners that we have in town
who are
BQ people. But like, you know, that's the carrot like way off at the horizon. But, you know, there's a lot of fun and a lot of work to do before I get there.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you heard when we had Katie on last week or a couple weeks ago, the only way that she could get into some of these majors was, you know, the marathon tour, basically.
Right.
Which is intriguing for a couple reasons. I mean, it's probably the most reasonable, well, not the most reasonable, most likely way that, you know, Joe Schmoes like us can get into those kinds of races, but also get some travel involved in it too and some sightseeing and a package deal. So never give up on your dreams, Mike.
There you go. There you go.
There are ways. very cool. So you do all of this running. We've had a bunch of different runners in here who approach their running in different ways and their nutrition in different ways. And you are our first vegan runner. So I know I've heard a rumor that like it's a rule if you're the president of Chico Run Club, you have to be a vegan. Is there any truth to that?
Well, so I hate to correct you, but I'm the second vegan runner.
Okay.
Because Manny is also.
That's true. Yeah, oh yeah. My gosh, you're right. Manny, I'm sorry. Yeah.
And so that's the joke. So Manny obviously is El Presidente of BRC vegan. I just stepped into the president's role for CRC. So yes, you have to be a vegan to head a run club.
Okay. So you just started being a vegan a few months ago then? No. So has this been a lifestyle choice that you've made a long time ago? Is it recent?
So sort of like the marathon. So I was a vegetarian for about 10 years. And during that time, my wife's like, if you ever become a vegan, I'm going to kill you.
Uh-huh.
Right. And so one day I was like, you know what? I think I want to give this vegan thing a try. And she's like, are you kidding me? but so I've been a vegan for about the last 5 years now. And then a vegetarian 10 years before that.
Yeah.
So that's kind of been the journey throughout. But, you know, Coke and Oreos are vegan. So
yeah, they are.
there's all kinds of options for everyone out there.
And as a side note, Oreo makes an incredible gluten-free cookie, just, you know, if you're ever down that route. So as someone who is, I don't want to say as far away from vegan as you could possibly be, but as someone who's nowhere near vegan, when you are, you know, taking in nutrition during a run, like, what does that look like?
I mean, it's not too different than, you know, what, especially from a fueling standpoint. Uh-huh. you know, most of your gels, like I like Cliff Blocks. That's mm-hmm. that's the one that I used in the marathon. 7 sleeves of Cliff Blocks during the marathon. Like, oh my goodness. But like for most of your basic fueling stuff, I mean, my coach was like, okay, here's your carb loading plan. I'm like, oh, this is just normal eating, right?
Yeah.
All about the carbs, right? Yeah. So it was a lot of fun there getting that in. But yeah, I mean, it's not too different. And like, I'm sort of a whole food plant-based type of guy. Uh-huh. Like, I'm not out doing huge scoops of, you know, protein, sure. protein powder, those type of things.
Yeah.
Just try to keep it well balanced and, okay. and yeah. eat a healthy diet.
Yeah. That's funny because one of the questions on here was how much vegan protein do you smash? I got a kick out of writing that because I just wanted to know.
Well, the funny thing I always tell people, they're like, oh, what's it like being a vegan? And it's like, you know, I barely have enough energy to get out of bed in the morning.
So yeah,
it's
just, right.
You know. Yeah, I don't know how I even wake up.
Yeah.
Right, right.
What's your go-to meals or race day ritual foods?
Yeah.
So after a race or after a run, I love finishing with a huge bowl of oatmeal. So that's just okay. like that's just a go-to to yeah. like refuel. Just a ridiculously large bowl of oatmeal. After
so
a
do you throw
run.
Like blueberries, strawberries, oh, honey?
You throw.
Wait, no. I guess honey doesn't fit into vegan, does
so,
it?
So I'm technically a vegan.
Okay, because so you'll eat honey.
I will eat honey.
Okay,
that's the one exception.
Okay, wait a second. Break this down. Is he's the vegan badass?
Yeah, the vegan badass. Yeah,
there's good alliteration.
What's there? The yeah. vegan to the vegan?
Yeah.
So yeah, oatmeal, great one. In terms of like after a race meal, in Minneapolis, we found an excellent sort of comfort food style vegan restaurant.
Nice.
And that was a fun thing being in the Twin Cities is, there's an app for, plant-based restaurants called Happy Cow. So you go on Happy Cow and, you know, you check out, you know, kind of what the different places are in
yeah.
major cities. But some of the best meals, and I hear this from other people too who aren't vegans, they're like, oh man, some of the best meals I've ever had are from some of these different vegan restaurants.
Yeah. I generally associate vegan with like Indian food.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. Right? That's that whole South Indian influence where, you know, a lot of vegetarianism.
Yeah. Yeah, love me some Indian food. Love, and I mean, realistically, I could go vegetarian, but I like eggs and cheese too much to like go full commitment to vegan. So kudos to you. So
after this, I'm gonna make a nice steak.
Super rare. So you know, if you don't mind me asking, what was the motivation to go vegetarian and vegan? Was it just like this? It's just what I like. Was it a health decision? And if you don't want to answer, I absolutely
no,
understand.
No, absolutely. There definitely was a single point. I read this book, which was given to me by my dad called Eating Animals.
Mm-hmm.
And just like, okay, I don't have any excuses. Let's give this a try. Like, this makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it. And so that started the whole sort of vegetarian piece. And then, you know, later on just was like, okay, I'm going to take it, you know, I'm going to take it another step further.
Yeah. I have a good friend, who's a longtime runner, really accomplished, who's a vegetarian and leans vegan whenever possible. And he's kind of in that same vein where like, he just had that realization, like, I don't need to do this. Like, you know, his is very much a moral and ethical thing. And I 100% respect that. And, yeah, I think it's really cool that it's becoming more, I mean, maybe it's always been pretty prevalent, but I think it's becoming more mainstream and like easier maybe to be vegan, vegetarian.
No, that's absolutely the case. My wife and I, with some friends, we've gone several times to the Sundance Film Festival.
Okay.
And probably now,
man,
like,
hold on. You're traveling the country running marathons, talking about going to Europe to run marathons, going to Sundance Film Festival. What a life. You are living it.
The vegan badass.
Yeah, the vegan badass.
Yeah. I'm a little bit of more of a stay-at-home type myself, but okay. My wife loves to travel. So she's like, any excuse to travel, she's there. Awesome. But we were at the Sundance Film Festival, this probably like 5 years ago. I mean, everything's blurred after the pandemic. But there was this documentary called The Game Changers. And that profiled various vegan athletes. They had a vegan strongman on there who was one of the stars of the doc. And that's where the vegan badass shirt comes from, is he was wearing a vegan badass shirt. I was like, oh, well, that's cool. I got to get me one of those, right? Yeah. But just sort of destigmatizing. And I think to your point, Pete, like a lot of people, you take someone like Steph Curry
mm-hmm.
and talk about like his nutrition And he's not completely vegetarian or vegan, but really being conscious about what people are eating,
yeah.
about recovery, about, you know, inflammation cycles and how, you know, how what totally. They eat. You know, it's a long way from Tim Lincecum on the San Francisco Giants and used to go smash like, you know, 4x4s in and out.
Yeah,
you
did.
And then go throw complete game shutouts.
No big deal. Right? Yeah, no big deal.
A lot of these athletes, like you take someone like Carl Lewis, and as they get older, or someone like Chris Paul in the mm-hmm. NBA, and as they get older, they see how a plant-based diet can help their performance and can help them yeah. extend their peak. And so you're seeing that more and more, even if people aren't strictly mm-hmm. vegetarian or vegan, they're being conscious about that impact on performance.
Yeah. I love that you're talking about the culture shift around plant-based athletes, dude. Yeah. Thanks for bringing the knowledge right there. That was yeah. cool. That was a cool little segment.
Yeah.
What have you noticed, like the changes in you has being vegetarian and vegan made? Like, has it helped you?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's been so long that you, know, okay. you can't point to any one thing and say like, oh yeah, you know, I'll change. I think the running habit more than anything else has been that change. My wife's like, oh, you used to fall asleep on the couch, right? You know, that type of yeah. thing, right? You used to go take naps all the time, right? And just incorporating, you know, incorporating running and getting really regular and creating that running habit. That, I think, was the bigger trigger. And then obviously you probably have some synergy with the diet and the running together.
Yeah. Most definitely. I know just
very cool.
in the last couple of weeks since Halloween, I've, and since that race, I've kind of like backed off on being the healthiest version of myself. Mm. Had way too much Halloween candy the last couple weeks. You know, Mike, I was telling you before we started, like, yeah, my kid's Halloween candy is all gone. I helped, you know, I wasn't going to admit it, but since I'm among friends, I helped. Yeah, that's really cool stuff. And, I appreciate your commitment to all of this too. Cause I think sometimes, you know, there's lots of fads that come and go, right? Like running's a fad. No, like you're sticking with it. Vegan's fad. Like, so, it yeah. takes a lot to stick with that. So kudos to you again. I know a few weeks here, a couple months ago, I saw that you were running in Petaluma. Maybe you remember this message I sent you, like, hey, you're in Petaluma. Are you by Lombardi's Barbecue? That place is great. And I think your response was, yeah, I'm actually right by there, but it's not really good for vegans. Yeah,
they've got one good veggie sandwich. It is a total spot. Like, if you were in Petaluma, if you're headed out to Bodega Bay, like, go get your picnic lunch at Lombardi's. Yeah. They do all their, they've got all the smoker at like 6 a.m. There's just a huge cloud of smoke yeah. covering the whole boulevard there.
Yeah. Ross, if you haven't been, next time you're around that area, we go out to Lawson's Landing every time or every summer. And so it's like now we stop by there on the way out and grab, you know, a big rack of ribs and yeah. take them out there and eat them on the beach. It's glorious.
Many sandwiches ordered at Lombardi back in the day yeah. when I was living in the North Bay area.
Yeah. So speaking of Petaluma, what do you do? What's going on in Petaluma? Like, not to like, you know, get in your business, but what's going on in Petaluma?
Besides being a vegan badass.
Yeah.
A vegan badass.
Yeah.
So I mentioned how the family, we moved up as part of this kind of pandemic yeah. life change. Have a family business down that my folks started down in the North Bay.
Okay.
So we're in Petaluma and it's a landscape construction company.
Oh, cool.
So I still go down there a couple days a week and I do all of my site visits. I do all my meetings and then I do the rest of my office work up here in Chico. So I kind of have the best of both worlds.
Yeah, I'll say. Petaluma is beautiful.
It's super pretty. And, you know, I'm not going to lie. The best part of going down to Petaluma is the summers when it's 110 in Chico.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, it's 55 degrees and cloudy down here.
That's why we go to Lawson's Landing in July every year. And it seems like we time it perfectly. Like it's during one of those hellacious spells where it's 110 for 10 straight days. And we get out there and it's like, I didn't bring a heavy enough sweatshirt. I should have brought a pair of sweatpants. Yeah. Oh, that's so cool. So you're down there every week then? Is that about?
Yeah, more or less.
Okay. Very cool.
What about running there?
Yeah.
So it just shows what a good running town Chico is. Because we've got a couple, in Petaluma, there's a couple good parks. There's one called Schollenberger, which is down on the river, which is like a series of levees and marshes down mm-hmm. there. So that is flat as a pancake. You can string together, you know, a nice 10K down there. So that's a pretty spot. And then there's one other park called Helen Putnam Park, which is a little regional park, and that's got a bunch of hills.
Been there.
Yeah. And my favorite part of Helen Putnam, they just remodeled it a few years ago, and they have what they call the Stairway to Helen. And it's, I want to say it's like 122 stairs. So that is perfect. Like, we don't quite have anything like that. And she goes perfect for stair repeats. So you go, you smash up those. It takes me like, I don't know, like a minute 15. You smash up those and then you're like dying on the way back down.
Yeah.
You kind of cruise back down. Then you just do it again. Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, speaking of stairs, we should mention Double Dipsy.
Double Dipsy. So that was a recommendation of Tom and Ursula. And they're like, oh, you've got to go check out this race. And the cool thing, the Double Dipsy is like the Dipsy. It's reverse handicap. So all of the oldest age groups and those runners, they start first. And so I was in the second to last age group when I did Double Dipsy. And so then you've got to pass everybody going. So, and Double Dipsy starts in Stinson Beach. And you go up over a couple sets of ridges, down into Muir Woods, over the shoulder of Mount Tam, and then down into Mill Valley. And then once you get to Mill Valley, you turn around and you do the whole thing over again.
That Stairway to Helen helps when you're doing the Double Dipsy.
Yeah, that was definitely the training ground for that race.
And I do love hills. That might be one that I need to look into.
So you're probably not too late. They run a quad Dipsy.
They do.
Yeah, which is like, it's like 27, 28 miles. And you just do that route four times.
That sounds like four laps around Lower Park, which wouldn't be my favorite thing.
Yeah.
A lot of climbing.
We'll leave that one for Logan.
He
does 40,000 foot climbs. That's no big deal. He can handle all that.
Any other hidden gems over by the coast or favorite trails you like to peruse?
Everything Point Reyes. I've been out there hiking more than run. I'd love to go running out there because that entire trail network around the seashore is just incredible. Like all the camps that are out and the beaches there, that would be some amazing running. So I would love to hit up some of those sections that I've hiked a bunch of times.
Have you ever been out to Bodega Bay?
A little bit. I'm a little bit more biased towards Point Reyes area, but yeah, there's definitely some cool trails up there as well.
Yeah, my parents live in Santa Rosa. I get down there, I'll smash out to Bodega Bay and run along the cliff's edge near Go Rock. It's just
You were telling me about that.
Oh, dude, Cordham Trail. It's so nice. Just listening to the sound of the waves crashing, running by him.
I love
that. Not too shabby.
Not too shabby. Speaking of not too shabby, I think it's time for our final break before we come back with some rapid fire.
Yeah, rapid fire.
Yes.
And you know, this break is brought to you by Dan the Man.
Always.
Who's the man with the plan, the financial plan. His name is Dan. He's the man. Lock it in.
You're a poet and I didn't even know it.
This break is brought to you by Dan Malden, financial advisor here in the Chico region. And now that we both crossed the finish line at a 50K, Pete, let's think bigger, like way bigger.
No, man, come on. My legs still hurt. I'm tired.
So wait a second. A 401K is off the table then?
Stop. There's no way I can run that far. I don't even want to drive that far right now, Ross.
I don't blame you. But hey, a 401k is an investment account. It will get you to a different finish line, a financial finish line.
I get it. I thought we were talking about running.
No, we weren't. And that's our guy, Dan Malden, is who we're talking about. And he can help you train to cross your financial finish line. He's a fellow Bidwell Run Club runner, and he's got the info you need to run your best financial race.
I always love that. I'm always looking to improve my training and my future, that's for sure.
You and me both. And since we're with a lot of people in the running community that are around the same age, it's definitely important to start thinking about finances and the role they play in helping shape your future. And Dan is the man for that. So give him a call at 530-500-2782. That's Dan Malden, a financial advisor, 530-500-2782.
That's right.
We'll be back.
2 very boring minutes later.
All right, welcome back. Time for Peter's lightning round of questions. Let's go.
Yeah, so Mike said he's a listener, so these aren't going to be like, he's never heard these before. It's going to be totally blind questions, but we're going to throw them at you anyways. All right, so I'm going to give you a two-prong question for the first one.
Ooh.
First, favorite place to run in Chico? Follow that up with favorite place to run in Petaluma.
Ooh.
All right, so favorite in Chico, which I really locked in during this marathon training, is Bidwell to Bidwell. So that's Bidwell Avenue and then into Bidwell Park. and you can go as far as you want to go with that route. But Bidwell Avenue follows Big Chico Creek.
Mm-hmm.
So you hit the creek coming through the park, you go through downtown, through the campus, and then you come out and you have a nice little extension on Big Chico Creek there.
Yeah.
Nice.
I think like on Strava, that might need to be changed to like Mike's Miles. Oh,
I like
that.
Yeah. Let's go. Good idea.
Yeah. Okay. So Petaluma.
In Petaluma, so the two parks I mentioned, but I'll throw a little wild card there because I just saw, again, we're talking Tom and Ursula. They were down in San Francisco. I used to live in the Presidio.
Okay.
And the most gorgeous place to run, which I used to hit up all the time. I was just a little jaunt from there, is Crissy Field. Like, especially on a nice day, you've got the bridge, you've got Alcatraz. You cannot get a better place to run than Crissy Field.
Beautiful. Looks like I need to go to San Francisco. Actually, yeah. I'm going to be down on the peninsula at Christmas. I might have to make a little trip to San Francisco and do a little running.
Yeah, sounds good. Are you going to listen to music or are you going to raw dog it?
Well, that's what I was just going to get to. Mike, when you're out running solo, are you headphones listening to something or are you au natural raw dogging it?
Oh, it's the rawest of raw dogs. So, like, I don't like bringing my phone with me. So it's just me and the watch. Okay. And the funny thing is you're running. And you know, one of the things they talk about is wandering mind, mm-hmm. right? Where like you're decompressing. And the funny thing is, like, when you're running, most of the time I'm thinking about running. Like, mm-hmm. and I think about other things too, but a lot of times it's just, you know, you're thinking about different stuff going on and running and paces and everything else. But yeah, it's nothing, just straight run.
Yeah. Okay. So next question, best piece of advice you've ever received regarding running, whether it's from a coach, a friend, whatever it might be.
I think from my coach, Ben, the best piece, which was part of this marathon training, is mobility all day long. So he had this mobility routine that he assigned me, and everything is done from a deep Asian squat. So you're just way down in there. And when you first start doing it, like 30 seconds and just everything is burning and hurting.
Yes.
And then over time, you just kind of build up, but you're getting that ankle flexibility. You're getting the knees, you're getting the hips. It's amazing. And it really, when you start adding up that mileage, the mobility is key.
Can you share that?
Yeah.
Because
Mike's secret weapon.
Yeah. Mike's secret weapon for sure. Like, I have the worst hips that have ever hipped. So I would be very interested, or, I don't know, maybe like a CRC mobility night, just throwing it out there. I'm an ideas guy. I'm not real practical at doing things, but I'm an idea guy.
The ideas are hip.
The ideas are hip. Yeah.
Very hip.
If it hasn't happened before, we got to drop that in the show notes.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. It's also hip to be square, as once said. So next question. You come across somebody who's just getting into running. What piece of advice would you give that person? Like, the first piece of advice, they're going out for their first run. They're like, I'm going to get into this. What are you telling them?
So I've heard a lot of the different piece of advice.
Yes.
One of the things that popped up to me is it's supposed to hurt.
Yeah.
And that's something that I didn't really realize when I was like getting started and getting a little bit more serious about running.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my knee would start hurting and I'd be like, oh, I've got to shut it down for a week. Like, this is starting to bother me.
Yeah.
And you have to kind of learn your body and learn what it feels like, but you can't be afraid to have some discomfort, to have some pain, mm-hmm. to overcome some injuries. So that's what I tell people as they're starting to get more into running is, of course it's hard. Of course you want to start slow, but also realize that like you're going to build up that strength and those adaptations and where you start is not going to be like where you get to.
That's a mic drop right there.
Yeah. M-I-C and M-I-K-E.
Yeah. M-I-K-E is what I was going.
Yeah. That's really good. And no one has said that yet.
No.
Like, but that's part of it.
It's so true.
You have to be uncomfortable. You have to get uncomfortable with being uncomfortable. And that achy knee or the ball of my foot hurts or like my toenails feel weird. Like, yes, they do. And you're doing it right. If it's not hurting, you're probably doing something wrong. Like, you're not running.
Yeah, you got to walk that line. Like, you don't want to be dumb about it. I mean, you could do the same thing. You know, so many people are like, I'm just going to go hammer it hard. Right. Uh-huh. You don't want to do that either. But yeah, getting to know your body.
Most definitely. So I think you hit on this a few minutes ago, but favorite post-run, post-race meal, you're like, I just need this.
Carbs all day long. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the fun thing of the Twin Cities race is just going around to restaurants looking for carbs. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm.
All right, Ross.
Well, speaking of food, we have some vegan-themed rapid-fire questions
for our guests.
Uh-oh.
Tofu or tempeh?
Tofu.
Yes. Smoothie or salad?
Salad.
Almond milk or oat milk?
Definitely oat milk.
Avocado toast, overrated or perfect?
It's pretty darn good.
Favorite vegan restaurant?
So this is a little bit sad because when we moved to Chico used to have a couple of really good restaurants. We had Pizza Riot, which still sells at New Earth and SNS, I think, but they closed their storefront. And there was also Om Foods, which was mostly plant-based. And they do like catering now and stuff. But we lost a couple of pillars of the Chico vegan community, but there's still a lot. And I know you guys, probably one of my favorite places that has a dedicated vegan menu, Savor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
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 Yes. So we do a lot of Savor in our house because for a while we were doing no dairy. And yeah, what a great place and a local business.
Very yeah, nice folks. I think that's got to be on the top of the list of sponsors for Pod on the Road.
I like it. It's funny you mentioned that because the next question was favorite vegan dessert. So I think we locked it in.
I think we nailed it.
Yes.
Maple bacon toffee.
That's not the one that Mike's having.
That's my favorite flavor over there. I think that's the flavor. It's so good. It sells out so fast every time they make it.
They know what they got. Know what they got.
They do. Hey, Mike, this has been amazing, man. Thanks for coming. Thanks for sharing your story and being prepared. Yeah. And so fun to learn and all this great stuff. How can folks get involved with Chico Running Club?
So it's chicorunningclub.org. You can follow us on Strava. We're picking up the game on Instagram.
yeah, you are.
And, you know, come on out on Saturday morning. Come on out to pizza night. In the spring, we'll restart the pub runs. So, yeah, let's get together and let's run.
Yep. I'm going to start coming out. Who, by the way, who is doing your social medias? Because whoever is doing those is really good. They're posting some good stuff.
So I have adopted some other folks who are doing the Instagram and Russell, Michael, he does a lot of our Facebook and he does our Strava posts, but I've started trying to pick up our Instagram game a little bit. So
it's working.
Yeah. Well it's done. Working.
Yeah.
Thanks for being a pillar of this community, for showing us what it means to run with heart and vegan badassery.
Vegan. Wait. Vegan badass? Do we just do a little inversion? Yeah. All of the above.
Oh, that's either awesome. Way.
Yeah. Thank you, Mike. We appreciate you giving us some time tonight.
Any last thoughts, man?
Oh my goodness. It has just been so much fun to see the magic happen here in the podcast studio and to see you guys just play off of each other and to see it happen in real time. This has been fun.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, thank you. Mike, appreciate you.
Mike has a clipboard. He's got his notes. He came prepped. He also brought us a gift.
Yes.
So we should probably share the gift.
Yes. It'll be on Instagram shortly, I feel like.
Okay.
Yeah.
We got a counter. How many times I said, let's go. How many times Pete said raw dog. Now we can keep track every episode. Thanks to the brilliance of Mike and a gift that he came. So
a gentleman and a scholar.
Yeah. How cool.
Oh, very nice. Good.
Gosh, I had one other thing. Oh, I wanted to mention real quick. We did the Fleet Feet giveaway earlier this show. We should talk a little bit about what they're doing. We had a cafe run Sunday. And then coming up at the early part of the year, they're going to launch another training program for the Bidwell Classic Half Marathon. But speaking of marathons and some of the discussions we've had, Paul said they're kind of looking for enough entries to do a full marathon program. They're looking for at least 20 runners to commit. That's Paul Smith, owner of Fleet Feet Chico. So potentially there could be a marathon training program involved and we'll see, or they'll see how that looks moving forward. So just want to make sure we say thanks to Fleet Feet for the giveaway connection and the partnership, as well as promote a little bit about what they're doing. Obviously, they do so much good stuff over there. And of course, Chico Running Club is also doing so much good stuff, and it's thanks to Mike and a great crew. So last thoughts, Pete?
I think you got it all. One other thing coming up in December still with Fleet Feet beer, the holiday beer relay.
Great point, yeah.
If you haven't done that, that's a good time. Sprint a mile, chug a beer, slap some high fives.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful time.
I have not done that. Thanks for the reminder. Is the turkey trot Fleet Feet, the Run for Food?
Yes, I think there. I think that's connected to Fleet Feet.
That is the Jesus Center that
the
does.
Jesus Center. Jesus Center. You're absolutely right, okay.
Mike. See, we need the. You see, our producer. Yeah, he keeps producer, us honest.
Yeah, yeah.
He keeps us honest. That's what we need.
Oh man, how many lies have we told?
Not too many.
Not lies, falsehoods.
Yes,
falsehoods.
Nothing intentional over here. We're just trying to give the people what they want.
That's right. That is right. Ross, always good to hang in the pod chamber with the pod father himself. Mike, thank you again so much. We appreciate you. We appreciate Chico Run Club. Yeah. Get involved if you're out there. It's about that time to call it a night, I think.
Yeah. Thanks to our audience. And don't forget, your chance to win Gators is to comment on peter.runs.hills Instagram account. That's his handle. I want to be like Mike. You'll win something nice.
As soon as that podcast post pops up, be the first one.
Yeah. Which means Ross, get to work. I'll get on it. Start producing that puppy as quick as I can. Hopefully we'll see you at a CRC run coming up.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'll be there.
Let's go. Thanks, Mike. Yep. Thanks again, dude. Everybody, have a great night. Thanks for listening. We love you.
Nailed it.